chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ. My life verse is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now look, everybody's interested in things. Everybody wants things. I don't care how spiritual you are. Well, you know, what do you really want out of life? I just want to love Jesus. And that's great, and I know that's true, and we need to just love Jesus. I have a dear friend who sings, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me." And you know what? I hear her sing that, and I think that's really good that that thrills her soul, and I feel so carnal because that's not all that thrills my soul. Popcorn thrills my soul. I like popcorn with lots of butter. I get more thrilled with popcorn and butter. Now, that kind of stuff will just really do bad things for you. There are things that thrill my soul. I like riding roller coasters. I get on a roller coaster, and I get on a high roller coaster that's going to go really down fast, and I'm thrilled when I get to the bottom, safe. There are a lot of things that I like to do. I like to have fun. I recently had an opportunity to get away with the Jacksons and another pastor friend of mine, Todd and Vanessa Vanneman. My wife and I and them got together up in Michigan. We had a great time together. We just got to see some things, got to eat food. Eating food thrills my soul. I like to eat certain things. I mean, I just like to eat. Hey, I got to tell you this. How many of you have ever eaten lobster? Okay, let me tell you this. You put your hands down. I tell you what, please put your hands down. You've been out in this all day. Anyway, so keep your hands. I had a friend a few weeks ago that invited me to a place in Las Vegas called the Fish House. He said, "Nobody else will go. I can't get anybody else to go. Would you go with me to the Fish House?" I said, "Sure, I'll go to the Fish House." He said, "Well," I said, "what do they serve there?" He said, "Fish." And he said, "But the best thing they have the best lobster in town." And he invited me over to his house, or to eat with him. He, me and my wife and Pastor Matt and his wife went over. He said, "Now listen, the largest lobster they have here is a 6-pound lobster." And he said, "They only have one tonight, so I ordered it for you." And I said, no, okay. And so I took that. And then everybody else got a 3 or 4 pound lobster. And then he got an extra one just in case we were still hungry. I want you to know, as I took that lobster out of its shell and I dipped it in the butter, it thrilled my soul. It was a wonderful thing to eat that. I want you to understand this. I like to have fun. I like to enjoy life. I like to go do things and see things. And I really believe that the Christian life ought to be the most exciting life that you can have. And I want you to know, since I've given my life to Christ, it has been exciting. We have seen some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things happen. But I want you to understand this. I'll catch this. All right? I've done a whole lot. I was raised as a poor kid in North Las Vegas. My dad died when I was 10 years old. There's no reason in the world that I should have been able this year to do the things that I've done. I'm going to share with you some of the fun things that I did this year. Some things I think you would like to have done this year. But I want you to understand this, that I don't live for those things. I don't live for those things. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Seek to know Jesus Christ. Seek to know Him. Seek to love Him. Seek to get intimately involved with Jesus Christ. Get to know Him. Get to know what He thinks. Get to know what He believes is right and wrong. Get to know His direction in your life. Now listen to what He says. Seek ye first. Seek that first. And all these things will be added unto you. And He's talking, by the way, the things He's talking about, girls, is clothes. He talks about clothing the lilies of the field. You don't have to worry about what you're going to put on. You don't have to worry about your clothes. If He takes care of the lilies of the field, take a look at a picture of a lily of the field. Beautiful. God's interested in us looking nice. He says, he's talking about clothes, then he's talking about food. I just love the Lord, don't you? And he said, look, food and raiment, the world is worried about that. He said, hey, you don't have to worry about any of that. He said, if you seek my kingdom first, catch this, because generation after generation after generation of Christian young people miss this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God wants to add things to you, but he doesn't want you to live for things. He wants to give you things. He wants to do things for your life. Hey, the question tonight that I want you to ask yourself is, what do you want to do? What do you want Jesus to do for you? I don't care what it is. Maybe you say, hey, I want to be a fireman. Or, hey, maybe I want to be the biggest businessman in the world. Or, maybe I want to be the richest guy in the world. Or, maybe I want to race cars. I have a Christian friend. I'm telling you, he has the greatest fun big boy toy job that I've ever heard of. This guy works for the third largest airplane producer in the world. He works for a company called Bombardier. And they produce aircraft for people all over the world. Executive airplanes that have got all the neatest little toys and whistles and all the things that are just cool. He gets, this is his job, he gets to approve the new toys that they're going to put in these brand new planes. Then his job is to fly that toy, that plane, over to all different customers all over the world and show them how to fly the plane. And he's the guy that sits next and says, this is what to do, this is how to do it. And he shows them how to play with the big toy that he's put together. And then he sells that toy and he gets to go get another one and play with it. What a neat thing. But I want you to understand he doesn't live for that. Seek ye first, now catch this, the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen to me. Jesus loves you. God loves you. And he wants what is best for your life. He wants you to have a good time. It's not as though God wants you not to have the desires of your heart. God wants you to have a wonderful life. But he knows the key is this. You've got to get focused. Michael, you've got to get focused on what he wants. And when you're focused on what he wants, everything that you want for doing what he wants is going to be added unto you. Now, the story in Mark chapter 10 is of a blind man. A blind man, we're going to start in verse 46. A blind man who could do nothing because he was blind. It's hard to do things when you're blind. He couldn't see things. He couldn't get around. He was a blind man. But he got his desire right. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Look, he had a need. And he realized what his need was. He wanted to be able to have sight. But he knew he wasn't going to get that any other way except by seeking Jesus. Let's look at what happens. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to pray first. Father, I pray, help me to communicate this. This is so exciting. This is such a tremendous story. God, I pray you'll help me to get it across to your young people tonight. God, I pray that you'll light the fire of excitement that's in their heart, Father, that they'll see that living for you is just wonderful. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. And I pray, Father, that you'll just do in the lives of the people that are here, young or old. Father, the things that you've done for me, God, I pray that they'll seek you first and these things will be added unto them. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. So here's this beggar named Bartimaeus. He's sitting by the highway. They're going to pass by, and he's just begging. Give me food. Can you give me food to alms for the poor? And when he heard that, it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, he had heard, obviously, some things about this Jesus. He had heard about this man who could heal the sick. He had heard about this man who could raise the dead. He had heard about this man who had made people who were lame walk. And he wanted to meet this man because he knew that Jesus had the answer for his request. The Bible says, and when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now the idea isn't that he just cried that one time. It's that over and over again, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. In Psalm chapter 12, the psalmist cries out, help, Jesus. That's where we need to be. When we come to the Lord Jesus and we say, Jesus, I need you to do something for me. You have something you want to do in your life? You have something you want done in your life? Cry out to Jesus. You want to be, I don't care what it is. If God puts a desire on your heart, say, Jesus, help me. That's what he did. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Would you just shut up? You're making a scene. Your mother ever say that to you? Hey, would you just come? Look, people are looking. When we were in college, when I was dating my wife, I had a friend named Tim Benson. Tim Benson was a little strange. He was a good friend of mine, and Tim and I would let our girls, our wives, they were girlfriends at the time. We'd go to Lynchburg, Virginia. Nothing happens in Lynchburg, Virginia after 6 o'clock at night. Everything's quiet. If you're going to do something embarrassing, it's okay because very few people are out in Lynchburg, Virginia. So what we would do is my wife and his wife, his future wife, were good friends, and they would start talking, and we were going window shopping in the evening, and they were looking at windows, and we got behind them, and we did this. We pulled her pants up like this, and we did this. We messed up our hair. I'm going to do that because it just looks so good. And we just followed behind them. And we were doing this. Pretty soon they turned around and got in trouble. Anyway, why was I telling you that? I don't know. Anyway. It was funny then. Anyway, he said, I know what I was going to tell you. You can cause a scene by doing certain things. You know, you can cause people to look at you strange. And we did all sorts of interesting things like that, but I'm not going to go into that. He's causing a scene. His parents were a little embarrassed. People were a little bit embarrassed. Stop it. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, thou son of David. People are telling him, stop. But here's what happened. Now listen, this is so neat. This is so great. You've got to catch this. He made a request to Jesus. Now look, the Bible says, and Jesus stood still. You know that Jesus is waiting for someone to call on him? Jesus is waiting for someone who sees their need. Jesus is waiting for someone to say, I want you to use me. Jesus is waiting for you to come to him. He's not going to make your life miserable. He wants to make your life sweet. And he's waiting. Here's a blind man. He sees his need. So he calls out to Jesus. Everybody else is saying, don't make a scene. He doesn't care. He's more concerned about what Jesus thinks than anything else. The Bible says he cries out. The Bible says he stood still and he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Arise, he calleth thee. Just settle down. He's calling you. Come on, I'll take you over there. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, now listen to this. Listen to this question that Jesus asked. I want you to know this. He'll ask you the same question. Here's a question from Jesus to a blind man who's calling out to him. Here's the question. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want me to do to you? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do with your life? What is it that you want? Josh, what is it you want from Jesus? What is it that you want? There's someone here who can grant you what you want. What is it that you want? What is it that you want with your life? What is it? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now listen, that's not so amazing that Jesus says, hey, what do you want? Listen to the thing. The Bible says, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. All I want is to be able to see. That's it, Lord. Just let me see. Well, you say, that's a simple request. No, it's not. That's an impossible request. He's been blind all of his life. It's an impossible thing. He said, I just want you to do the impossible. What do you think in your life is impossible? What do you think would never happen in your life? What do you think, hey, that could never take place in my life? Oh, I'd love it to happen. If she'd just look at me, that would be the impossible thing. And all your friends are saying, shut up, blind Bartimaeus, she's not listening. If he would just talk to me, what is it that's impossible in your life? Oftentimes we think of fleshly things, but look, what would you like to do? What would you like to do with your life? He said, Jesus said, what do you want me to do? The blind man tells him. Now that's fascinating, but the incredible thing is the very next verse. The incredible thing is the very next verse. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Catch this! Listen to this! Somebody says, help me, Lord! 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 And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, this is what I want. And Jesus gave it to him. Sam, Jesus gave him what he wanted. Do you see that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He came to the Lord Jesus and he said, Jesus, just give me what I need. And Jesus said, what do you want? He said, this is what I want. Jesus said, you can have it. The Bible tells us this, Andrew. The Bible tells us that if God would give us willingly his Father, if he would not spare his own Son, how much more will he freely give us all things? Keith, he'll give us all things. All we have to do is believe him. All we have to do is seek his kingdom first, and these things will be added unto you. This is an amazing story. It's an amazing truth. It is a wonderful thing. And that's true for you. If you're in the 7th grade, if you're in the 8th grade, if you're in the 10th grade, if you're in the 12th grade, 9th graders, you don't get it. Doesn't matter what grade you're in. Doesn't matter where you are in life. He says, look, seek my kingdom first, and these things will be added unto you. I want you to know, God wants to bless your life. This year has been a phenomenal year for me. It started off. By the way, let me just tell you this. There are things that I wanted to do all my life. There are things that I wanted to do all my life. I wanted to. I grew up in Las Vegas. My dad died, as I said, when I was 10. All my brothers and sisters before I was born had traveled. They told me about places. They told me about Pennsylvania. They told me how beautiful it was. So to me, that was like the Holy Land. There were trees there, and there were wonderful things that I had never seen in my life. And I wanted to go to Pennsylvania. I thought that'd be a wonderful thing. Now, remember that. I wanted to go to Pennsylvania. Just wanted to see the place. I thought that would be great. And then I thought how wonderful it would be just to travel. Just to be able to travel things. Now, I thought, boy, that's what I want to do. In fact, I remember when I was 16 years old, my friend and I looked at a great big old school bus. And we were going to work together, save our money, get that school bus, and rebuild the engine. And then when we graduated, we were going to make that school bus into a camper, and we were just going to travel across the United States and see every state in the Union. That's what we were going to do. It was going to be so cool. This is what we were going to do. I just wanted to see the country. I wanted to get out of the desert. I wanted to see something that was just see the things that I'd heard about all my life but had never gotten to see. That's what I wanted to do. But when I was 16 years old, the God worked in my life, and I heard about the second coming of Christ, and I didn't want to go through the tribulation, and I wanted to go to heaven. And so I committed my life to Christ. And people said, man, you're never going to have any fun. You're never going to do anything in life. You're just not going to have any enjoyment in life because the world equates. Now listen, and the devil will tell you, please listen to this. The devil will tell you that fun is spelled S-I-N. That the only way you can have fun is sin. That if you obey the word of God, you're not going to enjoy life. You're not going to have anything in life. You just won't be able to have any fun whatsoever. I said, Lord, I'd like to travel. I remember telling the Lord, I'd like to travel and see some things. But God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to go where you want me to go. I'll tell you what, let me just tell you this. I want to ask you the question. Before I go into this, I want to ask you this. What do you want to do with your life? What do you want Jesus to do for you? I don't know what it is. Maybe you want to be a businessman, like I said. Maybe you want to work in the military. Maybe you want to blow things up. I don't know what it is you want to do. Maybe you just like to get married and have a family and serve the Lord. Maybe that's what you want to do. I don't know what it is. But I want you to know this. The Bible says this. In another passage in the Old Testament, in Psalms 37:4, the Bible says, if we delight ourselves also in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. That's a promise from God. Nobody in the world can make that promise for you. You can go to work for a company and they'll say, hey, we're going to give you benefits, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But I want you to know, you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. I said, Lord, there's a couple things. First of all, in my life, there are things that I would like to do. A lot of things I'd like to do, but I guess primarily, Lord, I'd like to travel. I really would like to travel. You know what happened to me this past year? I won't start off since last year when we were here. Let me just tell you what happened in January. And by the way, I get invitations to go places that I just don't have the time to go to. But somebody said, there's a missions conference in Acapulco. I said, I don't mind suffering for Jesus in Acapulco. And they said, all you have to do is come to Acapulco. They wanted me to speak for them. And I said, okay. Now, this is an amazing thing. I get to go to Acapulco, and I get paid to go to Acapulco. I don't have to pay my way. I don't have to pay for a plane fare. I don't have to do anything. I get to go to Acapulco. When I get to Acapulco, they put me up in a hotel room, 24 stories high. I'm looking out my 24-story window. I'm looking down at three beautiful dolphin-shaped swimming pools, which once you get out of them, you walk across the sand and you're at the Acapulco beach. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wow. I'm watching people parasail in Acapulco. And I'm thinking, I would like to parasail in Acapulco. Since I'm here in Acapulco, at least I'd like to touch the sand. And we went to meeting after meeting after meeting. About 2 o'clock, the day before I'm flying out of Acapulco, Guy calls, we have about a two-hour break. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to go down to the beach at Acapulco. I'm going to go down there and put my toes in the water. I'm going to at least say I was here, you know, and touch the water. I went down there. As I went down there, I have some friends that sing in a quartet called the Daybreak Quartet. They watched me walk out there. They said, Dr. Tice. And I said, yes. Whenever they call me Dr. Tice or Reverend, I know they don't know me very well. So I said, yes. They said, hey, are you going to go parasailing? I said, I'd love to go parasailing, but there's a big long line there, and I don't have time. I've got to be back in a meeting in 2 hours. And they said, hey, that's okay. We'll put you at the front of the line. I said, really? I said, well, it costs $25, and I don't have the $25 in my pocket. They said, that's okay. We'll pay you if we can just videotape it. And I said, I don't know about that, but they said, they'll pay me. I said, okay. So I walk up there, and I'm thinking, I'm going to go parasailing. This is going to be great. And I walked up, and the guy said to me, whatever he did in Mexican or Spanish, and I didn't have any idea what he said. And he looked at me and said, then he said in broken English, just hold on, and when you come back, pull this string. Then I realized, I'm in Mexico. People die in Mexico. And I'm going parasailing. I don't know how to talk to these people. Now that joy that I had just a moment ago has turned into fright. But I can't act like I'm frightened because I'm Dr. Tice. And my way is being paid. And are you sure you want to do it? Oh, yeah. And they're harnessing me up. And I'm saying, Lord, closer to thee. And they buckled me all up. They said, okay, just run out. And you just run towards the beach. And pretty soon you'll just take off. I said, yeah. And they said, when you come back, there's a yellow string right up there. You just pull that yellow string and you'll come back down on the beach. I said, how fast? They said, you'll just come down real slow. And I thought, okay. And man, I ran and I took off. I got to parasail. I went all around the Acapulco Bay, came back, came in for a landing, and man, laid down, and I got to go parasailing. It's an amazing thing. Now, I didn't ask God for that. I didn't ask God for that, but God knew, hey, I'd like that. So he said, hey, kid, you've been pretty good. You've been seeking my kingdom first. So let me add something to you. One of those things, you can go parasailing in Acapulco Bay. You know what I just did about 3 weeks ago? Two of my best friends in the ministry called me up and said, hey, about several months ago, and said, hey, would you like to preach for us out in Michigan? And in between the times you're preaching for us, we'll set up a trip up into the upper peninsula of Michigan. And we'll go to a place called Mackinac Island, a place that my wife and I have always wanted to go to. Mackinac Island is a place where they have nothing but, it's like from the 19th or from the 1900s. There's no cars on there. It's all horse and buggies, and it's a really neat place to go. It's like walking into Anne of Avonlea or something, you know. It's just a really neat place to go. We've always wanted to go there. And they said, hey, we'll just do that. I said, you're kidding. You know what? I went out there. They paid my plane fare out there. I got to go out there for free, my wife and I. Do you know that on my wife's birthday, I always like to do something special for my wife. My wife grew up out in the country, out in the woods, in a little house out in the woods next to a creek. My wife loves that. When she's having a tough day in the middle of the desert next to the drainage ditch, she dreams about the country in cool weather next to a creek. That's her dream. On her birthday, the evening of her birthday, we drove back a little dirt road back in the country to a log cabin and we were able to stay there for 2 days on my wife's birthday. I didn't have to buy her something for her birthday. I did buy her something for her birthday. At a garage sale, I found an old Singer sewing machine, and I picked it up and brought it home. She thought that was great. But this was her birth. This is what God did for her, all right? God did this for her. Now listen, catch what I'm saying. All right, I'm telling these stories because I want you to understand. You know what I did last week? I flew to North Carolina. I went to North Carolina. I traveled. I want you to understand. This year, I've been in the Atlantic Ocean. I've been in the Gulf of Mexico. I've been in Acapulco Bay. I've swam. I have. What did I do? I got in the water in the Pacific Ocean. I've been all up and down the coast of California. I've had just an amazing time. Now why? Is that what you live for, to travel? No. But that's just one of the things. God said, hey, seek my kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto you. I've always liked Mustang cars. Always liked Mustangs. When I was 10 years old, my sister bought one of the first Mustangs produced. It was like a 1965 Mustang. It was cool. And I always said, I want a Mustang. I want a Mustang. It'd be nice to have a Mustang. I didn't beg God about it. I didn't ask God for it. I didn't do anything. I was seeking God's kingdom. You know what happened in 2002? Somebody called my son up and said, it would be a sin for a preacher to drive a sports car. And he said, no. He said, then I'm going to buy your dad a Mazda Miata. My son said, no, he wouldn't want a Mazda Miata. I said, you said what? He said he wouldn't want a Mazda Miata. He said, well, I saw him looking at a Mustang in the parking lot the other day. You think he'd like a Mustang? And Pastor Matt said, he would love a Mustang. He said, what color? He said, red. He said, hard top or convertible? He said, convertible. He said, well, he'd probably want an automatic. He said, no, he'd want a 5-speed on the floor. He said, he's got it. The guy bought me a brand new one. It's riding around here. I got the evidence. Why? Because I wanted a Mustang. I wanted a Mustang. God said, hey, my kid, he's seeking my kingdom first. I think I'll give him a Mustang this year. You understand that? You understand that? Blind Bartimaeus said, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. He said, what do you want? I just want to be able to see. He said, okay. That's incredible. That's unbelievable. I said to the Lord as a 16-year-old kid, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. That does not mean that God's going to call you into the ministry. It does not mean that you're going to go to the mission field and marry a fat woman. That's not what that means. Or an ugly guy or a fat guy. It doesn't mean that. Oh, God. Oh, okay, God. Okay, God. It's invitation time. It scares the daylights out of me, but you can have my life. Cancer, snakes, heart problems, disease, ugly people. It's terrible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. God wants to give you wonderful things, but he wants you to come to him. He wants you to seek him. He wants to be first place in your life. I said, Lord, those are some things. What do you want him to do in your life? What are the things you'd just like him to do? What do you want him to do with your life? Look, with my life, I said, Lord, first of all, I want to be saved. I heard when I was 16 years old the story of the second coming of Christ. I heard about the tribulation and the terrible things that were going to go on in the tribulation. My sister had gotten me to go to this meeting, and the meeting was packed out, and I came in late after parking my car way out in the parking lot. I came in late, and they said, there's no room for you except right up there. And they took me in an auditorium like this. They took me up. The choir loft was filled with people, and they stuck me next at the end of the choir loft. And this preacher just went on and on about the terrible things that were going on in the tribulation. I didn't want to go through that. And I said, Lord, I want to do what's right. I want to serve you. I want to commit my life to you. I just want to do what you want me to do. I gave my life to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I really want you to give me eternal life. You know what he did? When I came to Jesus and I said, I know I'm a sinner and I know I deserve to go to hell and I know that you are God and I know that you died in my place and you paid for my sin. I know that. And I know that you rose from the dead proving that you are God. By the way, when he rose from the dead, listen to me, young people, catch this. When we say we believe in the resurrection of the dead, We don't just believe in some myth, something somebody made up, and we just, people have always believed that. That's not some myth. Listen, catch this. There's more evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead than Abraham Lincoln lived. The Bible says there were over 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that this book is written by people who never believed that Jesus would rise from the dead. The New Testament is written by unbelievers and skeptics. One guy who was a terrorist who hated the name of Jesus Christ wrote the vast majority of the New Testament. Why? Because when he saw Jesus with his eyes, when he touched him, he knew this was true and he was willing to die for what he saw. This book is real. When I came to Jesus and I said, I'm a sinner and I don't want to go to hell and I know that you died in my place and I want to receive you, you know what he did? And I want to go to heaven. He said, okay. You can have a place in heaven. That's it. What else do I have to do? Just believe. What must I do that I must work the works of God? Just believe on him whom he has sent. Just believe. Jesus, you died for me and I believe that and I'm asking you to save me. He saved me. Beyond that, I said, Lord, as I grew in the Lord, I said, Lord, there's some things that I want. There's some things he's done for my life. There's some things I wanted in my life. Because I was raised in a single parent home, I wanted to have kids and I wanted to have a family. I wanted to have a real family. Catch this. Catch this. I wanted to have a family where we did things together and we had fun together. I wanted to be able to raise my children. I wanted to have a wife that loved me and I loved her. And then we weren't always screaming at each other and there wasn't that fighting all the time. When I was 13 years old, I got a little rowdy at my mom's house after my dad died. And my mom said, listen, you can't live with me anymore. And I went to live with my sister. It was sort of a mutual agreement. I went to live with my sister and my brother-in-law because he was a big guy. He could control me. But my brother-in-law was a drunk. My brother-in-law would come home at night. My brother-in-law would beat the snot out of my sister. And I remember one night when I was laying in bed and just probably 8 feet from my room, my brother-in-law and my sister were screaming at each other. And my sister started screaming and screaming, help me, help me. So I ran out of the bedroom and went out to where they were. My brother-in-law had my sister up in the corner, and he was beating her. And I went and I got a gun, and I ran out to where the gun cabinet was, and I cocked that gun, and I pointed that gun at my brother-in-law, and I said, I'm going to blow your brains out if you don't let my sister go. I didn't want that kind of family. I wanted a family where mom and dad loved each other. I wanted a family where the kids liked to be at the house. And the reason I wanted that is because I never had that. I didn't want that kind of family. I remember getting in the car one night. My sister got so mad at my brother-in-law, she got in her 65 Mustang and went up to his, I think it was a 67 El Camino, and she just backed it up and she started smashing her Mustang into that El Camino. And I remember standing in front of the car saying, don't do this, don't do this. Pretty stupid, standing between two cars. Got an irate sister trying to get back at her, and there I am. I really was dumb. I didn't like that. I didn't want that. I didn't want that. Understand? I wanted a real family. I wanted that. That wasn't what I lived for. But it was something that I wanted God to do with my life. I wanted him, see, there were things he did for my life. There were things that I wanted him to do with my life. And you know what? He did them. I was able to be with my, I love to be with every one of my children. I love to be with them. I love to be with my grandchildren. I got to drive up here with my grandchildren yesterday. I got to watch them play at Chick-fil-A and play in the thing. I love doing that. Only thing I don't like to do with children is change diapers. I love children. And I love being with them. I love being with my wife. I love the fact that we were able to just we were able to hold hands and just, they took us to a bear farm. It was really cool. I mean, like the bears are like this far away. You can go, nah, 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 you can't get you. It was so cool. My wife and I held hands and we walked around this huge, huge gate. Just walked. My wife picked up flowers and I'm looking for bears and she's picking up flowers and we just had a good time. I'm married 32 years and my wife still likes to kiss me. I like to hold her hand. I like to hide behind a tree and get a kiss so no one can see. And I don't care if you do see. I like to kiss my wife. It's a wonderful thing to be married 32 years and still love your wife. I wanted that for my life. I wanted God to do that with my life. And I want you to know, God's done that. When I got saved, I wanted to support missionaries. I wanted to build a church. After I got saved, God put it in my heart that I wanted to build a church. By the way, I've got friends who wanted to build a business, and they've built businesses. I'm just telling you, listen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you can come to Him. And look, you can say, He'll say to you, hey, what do you want me to do for you? And you can say, hey, this is what I want you to do for me. And this is what I want you to do with me. And He'll say, okay. He'll use you. What do you want Him to do at the end of your life? I want, when God calls me out of here, I want to have my 5 children and my grandchildren serving God. And I want to go to heaven. And you know what? I'm going to get to do that. I don't know when that's going to be. It could be tonight. It could be 30 years from now. It could be 50 years. You know, you're built the way I am. It lasts a long time. It could be a long time. I don't know. But I want you to know that God will do what you ask Him to do if you'll seek Him first. Listen to me. I plead with you tonight. I plead with you tonight. If you're not saved, get saved. It's not that God's going to make your life miserable and now you're not going to be able to have any fun. I'm telling you what. You'll have the more fun. You'll have the greatest life in the world. Now look, right now, you have to say no to certain things in your life. You have to say no to areas of control. You have to walk in obedience to Him. That's all part of seeking Him first. But I'm telling you what, the end result is you're going to have a great time. You're going to have a great, great time. I tell a story, one of my favorite stories. It's about my son Matthew. Pastor Matt, before he was Pastor Matt, was just a kid. When he was 5 years old, he wanted to go to Disneyland. And he wanted to ride on Magic Mountain, and he begged me to take him to Magic Mountain. And I tell this story all the time, so you may have heard it before, but he wanted me to take him to, not Magic Mountain, to Space Mountain. When he finally got to be a teenager, listen, when he finally got to be, not a teenager, when he got to be 5 years old, he was big enough, he was 48 inches tall, and he could ride Magic Mountain, and he begged me to take him to Magic Mountain. He nagged me and nagged me and nagged me to take him to Magic Mountain. And I said, okay. So we got to Disneyland, and he had been bugging me big time. So we get to Disneyland, and we get through the turnstiles at Disneyland, and we run down Main Street, just Matthew and I, run down Main Street. We make a right turn. We run past Star Tours. We run to where Space Mountain is, and he stands up real tall, and he's able to ride. We run up. We go all the way through all the lines because there's nobody there. We're the very first people to get in Space Mountain. We were the first or second people to get in Space Mountain, but we got on the front rocket ship on Space Mountain. How many of you have been on Space Mountain? Okay, a lot of you. Wow. We got on the front rocket ship on Space Mountain. We're sitting there. They put the lap bar down. We're waiting for everybody else to get in. Man, that thing gets all revved up, and man, it takes off. Boom! And it stops there at the end, and you look up, there's a guy looking down at your face, and you're waving at him. Matthew's doing nothing except staring straight ahead. He'd been bugging me. I want to ride. I said, okay, take you on a ride. Now look, we made that turn. We went up. You get up there, there's a red ball in the middle. There's these lights flashing down on you. Matthew's not doing anything, just staring straight ahead. We get up to the top, and boom, we take off. We're flying through Space Mountain. People in back of us are screaming, ah! everybody's enjoying the ride. Matthew's going. We get to the end of that thing. It stops. And then we pull up and they begin to lift the lap bar from us. And I looked down at Matthew and I said, "Well, Matthew, how'd you like Space Mountain?" Matthew looked up at me and said, "I would never take my child on a ride like that." I tell you that story to tell you this. He went on that ride because he asked me to take him on that ride. And I want you to know this. You give your life to Jesus Christ. You come to him and you get saved. Then you go one step beyond that and you say, "God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be obedient to you. I'll serve you. I'm going to seek your kingdom first. There's some things that I would like you to do in my life. There's some things that I would like you to do through my life. And there's some things that I would like you to do at the end of my life. God, but I'm going to seek your kingdom first. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Catch me." He'll take you on a ride like you've never ridden before. He'll take you on a ride. I've been on a ride for the last 35 years. It's been unbelievable. I've been all over this world. I've seen things that I never thought I would see as a poor kid from North Las Vegas. God has done so much, and he can do it for your life, and he wants to. You've got to say, "I'm yours." Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask a question. The question is this, first of all. And you've got to be unashamed. You see, blind Bartimaeus was there saying, "Lord, help me." He didn't care what people thought. A lot of people will go to hell because they care what people think. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you know for sure if you died right now you'd go to heaven? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? Hey, don't be ashamed to say I don't. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died right now you'd go to heaven?